Welcome back to the Paracast.
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. We have David Hatcher Childress. Now, Chris, you've known David for a number of years. What are your feelings and reactions, and maybe we can continue the questioning with that, about his theory about the artificial moon, the secret space program?
Well, the first thing that springs to mind is, the whole concept of strapping a giant firecracker to your backside, lighting it on fire, and shooting yourself above the Earth's atmosphere. That itself is an interesting subject. Perhaps our government and military did take Tesla's work, for instance, or the work of other lesser-known inventors back in the 30s and 40s, and perhaps they have some sort of exalted technology that doesn't require or doesn't rely on propulsion of that kind to fire yourself on a giant rocket up into space. Perhaps they have anti-gravity technology, and if so, it would be pretty easy to launch large ships from pretty much anywhere. So if you're going just on the premise that, the state of technology of our space program is what is publicly, acknowledged, then that's one thing. But if you factor in the potential for, unconventional technology that's highly secret, then that just opens the can of worms even wider. All these interesting factoids about our solar system, for instance, Richard Hoagland recently has just came up with a theory that the moon Phobos circling around Mars is artificial. He has some pretty intriguing evidence to suggest that we should look more closely at that particular satellite or moon. This is a subject that doesn't get enough attention, I think. I think a lot more work by people like David needs to be done. I think people need to have a better understanding of some of the physics involved in our solar system. And these are, I think, cutting-edge subjects that really need to be addressed further.
Well, I agree with you with Chris there, too. The kind of technology for going off-planet, going to Mars and really the moon, and certainly the technology of extraterrestrials, too, I would think, it's an electric type of technology, and the type of spacecraft they're using, it's not a rocket, it's not some giant firecracker like you were saying, Chris, that you light under your bum and go into space like Wile E. Coyote in the cartoons. No, I mean it's you're going to travel electrically, and the kind of crafters are going to be electric. They'll generate their own fields. It's very similar to, I think, the technology that Tesla was talking about. It's a kind of, I believe, too, and in my book on Vimana's The Technology of the Gods, I talk about these plasma craft and that their Mercury is part of it. They're basically these spinning vortex-type craft. A flying saucer type of craft would work well with this type of technology. And you have these basically spinning vortex type craft. They're gyroscopic in a sense, and they're electrified. And so this is where Mercury comes in. You have what's called like a Mercury proton gyro or something, but you have Mercury, which is a liquid, it's a metal, it's also a conductor, and it's spinning inside this closed gyroscopic system. But then electricity is added to it, and that creates a plasma that's an electrified gas, and this whole thing is spinning. Toroids are part of this, and a toroid is like a donut type of vortex movement. Smoke rings are studied in this way, gyroscopes, and all these things have a kind of anti-gravity effect. In some ways, like these flying saucer kind of craft like that, they're like a flying tornado or something that's controlled.
Well, this sounds like, and maybe we'll head back a bit to the journey throughout prehistory, that we've had this technology for a long, long time. So let's abandon the secret moon research and the artificial moon, because certainly we can't prove it right now. It would be nice if we could. even if there are indications of it. But let's go back through prehistory. How far back can we find words and information about advanced flying craft? Ezekiel's wheels, Ramana's, what?
Well, right. I would say all that in my books on the subject. A popular one is the book Technology of the Gods. And then I also did a book called Vimana Aircraft of Ancient India and Atlantis. And even another book called Atlantis and the Power System of the Gods, which is about Mercury vortex generators and the power system of Atlantis. A lot of that had to do with kind of Tesla's ideas and concepts and inventions. But when you read, for instance, the Ramayana, which is one of the great Indian epics, like the Mahabharata, I mean, both these books, which are thousands of years old, they read like the wildest science fiction. They're like some Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon story. People are flying around in their airships. These airships are some kind of apparently electric type craft, or at the very least, they're light airplanes or zeppelins or blimps or something. They're flying around. They have horrific weapons. They get in these wars. They devastate whole cities. Even some of the text indicate some kind of like atomic bombs and things like that. And the story of the Ramayana is actually, which is one of the most famous stories, and Rama has, he's a king, his wife leaves him, she runs off to Sri Lanka with this other guy who's the bad guy in the whole epic, Ravana is his name. And Rama's bummed out for a while, he goes and meditates in the forest, his wife's left him, and then one day he kind of snaps out of it and he decides, hey, I'm going to go get my wife back. And he jumps into his Vimana, his airship. He flies down to Sri Lanka, grabs his old lady and says, look, you're coming home with me. And she does go home with him. I mean, they have some aerial battles. He defeats the bad guy who stole his wife. And then they return to northern India where, you know, they try and live happily ever after, although she's tainted because she now like an adulteress and stuff. So,
David, it sounds like a Bollywood potential reality show.
Well, it is, you know, and it's very, it's all caught up, you know, in these really this personal relationship with these people. And it's more like the husband-wife problems and stuff. So one of the stories basically that in the Ramayana is this marital squabble between Rama and his wife Sita. He uses his Vimana, goes and gets her and brings her back. In India and Thailand, I mean, everybody knows what a Vimana is. You can ask them. They all know these stories. Even they have depictions. As you walk through the Bangkok airport today, there's a huge mural of Rama on his flying chariot. And, I mean, the way they depict it is literally a chariot being drawn through the clouds, you know, by flying horses. But, you know, in reality, what the Vimanas would have been were, I mean, they were machines, just like we have today.
Airships. Okay, so the theory that's raised here, and I'll shortcut this because the story is fascinating, but if this existed hundreds or thousands of years ago, where did this technology go?
Well, right. And what I maintain in all my books on these subjects is that history is, and science and technology, it's not some, you know, straight line graph from the bottom going up to the top. Here's civilization, here's science, and go up to the top of the graph. It's not like that. It's a roller coaster of ups and downs. And the history of mankind has been one of golden ages and enlightenment and science, and then all that crashing, being dark ages. It's a cyclical nature. Civilization goes in these ups and downs. It's well known that the ancient Egyptians and the Greeks and Romans even had a higher technology and civilization than Europeans did during the Dark Ages.
We'll go into the Dark Ages in a moment. We're not in the Dark Ages now. We're in the PowerCast. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Our guest, David Hatcher Childress. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Yep.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a sinister land of secret rites, passwords, initiations, and handshakes, where the truth remains hidden and history is controlled by an elite group of mysterious men. Imagine, if you will, that I'm holding a book in my hands that explains this secret history, and that the name of this book is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier. Here is described centuries of dark dealing, lies, murder, mayhem, and cover-ups in the pursuit of unimaginable money and power. My name is Brad Steiger, and the stories you are about to read may have actually happened at the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes, and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. My Pillow for the rest of your life.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. Our guest, David Hatcher Childress, author, adventurer, man about town. I'm starting to make you sound like the Shadow here. Lamont Cranston talking about ancient abilities and everything else. Okay, so civilization doesn't move in a straight line. So Do we think that maybe we had an Atlantis then with advanced capabilities, advanced aircraft, and then it all went to pot, the civilization ended, there was a worldwide cataclysm, what?
Well, right. I mean, that's more or less what I maintain, that there were, in ancient times, before 10,000 B.C., say, and then even coming up to, say, even 3,000, 4,000 B.C., mankind had, or certain areas of mankind, had very high developed technology. They had electricity. They had airships. They had giant power saws. They even had, I would say, abilities to levitate giant, 500-ton blocks of granite and things like that. They were able to do things that are virtually impossible to us today. And some of those things we can still see. The giant stones at Baalbek. There are things in Egypt. There are giant walls in South America where, I mean, you look at them today and you think, wow, I mean, even a modern construction crew here, you know, in the United States or in Egypt or Peru or something, they couldn't recreate those walls. I mean, you would need giant cranes and things like that to move these. And yet archaeologists are telling us, oh, you know, primitive people just drag these giant stones, stack them up here like you'd stack, railway cars or things like that.
Well, then, of course, it leads one to believe that nowadays we want to think we were the only advanced civilization. That, you know, everybody else was primitive, they used stones, there were cavemen, et cetera, et cetera. There was no possibility of an ancient advanced civilization. But other than things we read in the ancient text, now, if we look at those texts, they could also be fictional. We have no evidence they're factual, do we?
Well, we do. And, of course, the idea that, yeah, these ancient texts, such as Ramayana, Mahabharata, other epics too, Dronaparva is one, that even though they're telling these fantastic stories of airships, horrific wars, super weapons and things like that, that it's all just, you know, imaginative fantasy and mythology by, you know, ancient writers. However, from an archaeological sense, I try and find, all right, let's, this seems to make sense. Let's look for this evidence. And it is there. I mean, it's bits and pieces, unusual little things. For instance, when British and Indian and Pakistani archaeologists first began excavating these cities that are out in the Sin Desert right now between India and Pakistan, cities like Mohenjo-Daro, Kodigi, Harappa, what they found was, it was similar to what the ancient Indian epics had said. As they got to the street level of Mohenjo-Daro, and these cities are out in this desert, I mean, it's virtually uninhabited, these areas, what they found were people were lying dead in the streets, just like the ancient Hindu epics had indicated. People were lying dead in the streets, holding hands. Some doom had taken over this city, killed everybody, and then no one buried the dead or anything. And eventually the desert sands came in, covered this city, and thousands of years later that archaeologists finally uncovered this. These cities, too, are built out of very fine ceramic bricks that were fired. The cities were planned in advance. They had very good sewage and water systems. They had, even those people today in the Indus Valley, they have a type of a script that's never been deciphered. That same script apparently is the Rongo writing on Easter Island. There's a Polish scientist who put all that together, where he took the Indus Valley script, which is undeciphered, and the Rongo writing of Easter Island, it's undeciphered too, but he showed how they're really the same strange writing with figures. So now you have, like, these guys on Easter Island with all the giant heads and things like that. mainstream archaeologists have to admit that, yeah, there's something going on there, but they would say, okay, on Easter Island, the solution there is that some Polynesians came from Tahiti. They came to Easter Island. Easter Island is one of the remotest islands in the world. And then when they got there, they invented by themselves, you know, on this tiny island, their own special writing. And then also they got bored and they started building all these giant statues and stuff like that. But in reality, I would say all these things are connected. And just like today, we have a worldwide culture and English is spoken around the world. You can get into an airship, fly to, across an ocean to some other remote island and then onto another continent or something like that. And I believe that in ancient times, they were doing that too. But it wasn't a culture of consumerism as we have today. I mean, it was different. I mean, they had electricity, they had airships, they built these giant buildings, and something that they did too that's different from us. So much of what we do today has planned obsolescence in it. Things are actually built to fall apart after a certain time. Cars are built that way, and the buildings that we built, they're not meant to last for more than 100 years or maybe 200 years or something like that. But the ancients, they were building buildings to last for thousands of years. And in fact, if you go to Egypt today and other areas of the world, you'll see these buildings. They're still standing. And they're giant, megalithic stone constructions. And I mean, they've been there for already 3,000 or 4,000 years, and they're going to last for another 3,000 or 4,000 years. And that's how they built things. And I think they also built their vimanas that way too. Sort of like
buildings. Okay, so if you build your vimanas to last a good long time, where are they to be found?
Well, what I was saying earlier along those lines is that as these advanced civilizations were destroyed, I believe it was probably some kind of worldwide cataclysm that really, destroyed this worldwide civilization, or there was areas of it, pockets. And at that time, many of the vimanas and the cities were destroyed. And when you go to Tiwanaku and certain places, that's what you see. You see giant blocks of stone that have been tossed around like some child's building blocks or something like that.
We'll have to look into the child's building blocks and all the strange phenomena to be found around the world. We're talking to David Hatcher Childress. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, folks. It's time to play. Good food makes everything you do fun. On eFoodsDirect.com, you're going to find a summer outdoor special that gets you the most delicious, easy-to-fix, most portable, best food on the planet for your exciting fun in the sun. With each order of a 3-month responder pack, you'll get a free grab-and-go accessory kit with the backpacker's water purifier, stove, and carry bag. You'll also get a free camper's bakery pack with pancakes, biscuits, and cornbread muffins. All this delicious food can be easily prepared stovetop at home or in a pan over a campfire. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/summer or call 800-409-5633 for information and ordering. Summer fun with food just doesn't get any better than this, folks. You need it. They've got it. Just get it. eFoodsDirect.com/summer or 800-409-5633. eFoodsDirect.com/summer or 800-409-5633.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Our guest, David Hatcher Childress. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris?
David, you mentioned the intriguing connections that we can see sort of traces of that may link some super ancient civilization to having a worldwide presence. Do you think that now, today, in the 21st century, that we have any sort of evidence that would suggest that vestiges of this ancient civilization have survived into the present day?
Well, I think so. And I mean, what I've theorized has happened is that there was a time when there was a worldwide civilization. They had all these machines, vimanas. They had anti-gravity. They were levitating giant stones. They had huge saws. They were cutting these things, assembling massive walls. They were building things to last for thousands of years with giant granite blocks and things, and much of it is actually destroyed now. But when this cataclysm took place, certain pockets of this technology and civilization, what they did was they went underground, and underground in literally and figuratively, where they set up certain bases like Mount Shasta. Perhaps someplace in Tibet. There was even a book written about that by Lobsang Rampa called The Cave of the Ancients, where these Tibetan monk guys go to this secret cave and all these machines and stuff are still in there. That's a similar story to what's in Mount Shasta. In South America, I can tell you there's many stories of that. People see a lot of UFO activity. Some of it, they think, or people say, it's their UFOs are coming from underwater, like Lake Titicaca, or other kind of secret mountain bases that are somewhere in the Andes. So the idea is that here, you have like surviving pockets of these, whatever they are, ancient Atlanteans or something like that. An analogy that I would use would be Cheyenne Mountain near Colorado Springs. Now, here is a place that is a, you know, it's a big granite mountain. The U.S. military has hollowed this mountain out. There's some kind of a city inside that mountain. It's basically secret, although the government admits it's there. You can't go there or go inside it and see what's there. But they admit, yes, we have this. There's electric cars in there. People actually live inside that mountain. Now, if there was some worldwide cataclysm, and it could be a massive nuclear war, it could be some natural cataclysm that destroys the Earth, but suddenly these guys are still inside this mountain, and they have generators, they have electric cars, they have airships, but the rest of the world has been destroyed and even doesn't even look the way it had been before. There's been some pole shift, continents have been rearranged, giant tsunamis have wiped out billions of people or something. But they're still alive in this mountain fortress of Cheyenne Mountain. Now, I mean, that would be the modern analogy I would try and draw. Now, if something had happened like this in the past, then perhaps isolated areas like Mount Shasta or someplace in Tibet where these people have survived, they still have these airships. And then, like in the Bible, you have stories of these messengers, like with Ezekiel, and the book of Enoch is like this too, where these people are living a semi-primitive life in the Middle East or something, and then suddenly, yeah, this airship lands, these angels get out, they say, hey, stop all your fussing and fighting, stop killing each other, don't, stone your women, do this, don't do that. And here, we'll show you our power. Come on in our airship. We'll take you up. We'll show you your own country from, thousands of feet up in the air. And that's exactly what Ezekiel and Enoch say in their books. They say, yeah, I was taken up in the sky. I saw the planet. And then they brought me back down. I went home, to the wife and the kids, and I told them what happened to me today. And they all went, wow, that's amazing. So this is the sort of a story that we're looking at.
Let's look at the overall suggestion here. We're suggesting then that maybe what we think is ET is really something from here, that we have another civilization on Earth, the crypto-terrestrials, as it were, to use a term the late Mac Tonies did in his book, that they are sending these craft aloft and they're telling everybody, we got to protect the planet because it's their planet as much as ours, or maybe more so. And that they are really here to protect their own self-interest. It's not really ET then.
Well, that certainly is one scenario, and that's the one I have been presenting here. Ivan T. Sanderson also presented that in his book, Invisible Residence, that came out in like 1970. And in that book, Sanderson more or less said what you're just saying, and that is that, yeah, we're sharing this planet with some other race and humans, whatever they are. And he was saying in that book that they're living in these underwater bases and that there's some kind of underwater culture they have, but machines. And in fact, that's an interesting thing in the UFO field, where you have some of these Vimanas, allegedly, they're not just airships, they're submarines too. And these things go underwater, then they suddenly take off, and they leave the water, and then they fly. And how about that? I mean, in theory, these airships and submarines can, they can not only go to in the depths of the sea into some underwater base or something, but then they can fly to the moon afterwards. So you have, what it seems like incredible technology. And our government has that too, I believe, or they're certainly working at this thing. In fact, that was just something in the BBC News a few days ago, how the Pentagon had said that that's exactly what they were working on, was some kind of submarine that could also fly. And in fact, it wouldn't surprise me if they already have something like that.
Well, it would be nice if we can prove it. Certainly would save a lot of excess wasted money. So is this where the trillions of dollars that Donald Rumsfeld talked about that they couldn't locate back in the early part of this century? Is that what he meant?
Yeah, that's a good one. $2.2 trillion.
Well, you know, when it comes to all this black budget stuff, and it is, it's vast amounts of money, and so much of it is got to be spent on aerospace and, naturally, I think, submarine-type technology. And part of the military strategy, for sure, is that to keep America as the leading country in the world, what we really need, where we have to excel, and where America does excel, is in aerospace technology, and as well as building submarines too. I mean, this is something where the United States really excels with other countries. One of the things too about wars, and when you particularly you look at World War II, what World War II did especially was advance aerospace technology. And because of the urgency of the war effort and the combined efforts of just American citizens and the government, you know, we have to defeat the Nazis and the Japanese. And what that did was, for several years, I mean, we just focused all of our money and attention and efforts on creating the best airplanes. I mean, and the Nazis were doing the same thing. I mean, they were creating already space vehicles. The rockets that we eventually, you know, used here were basically designed by the Germans, and then we brought many of them over here.
Okay, we'll get into more about that in a moment. We have David Hatcher Childress. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack. Of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
I'm Gene Steinberg, the co-host Chris O'Brien, the guest David Hatcher Childress. You're in the Paracast. We're exploring some of the things that came from Nazi technology, but if we have all this other advanced stuff going on, why did we take the firecrackers from the Nazis?
Well, I would say along those lines is that we took all kinds of different technology from the Nazis, and the Nazis were in many ways more advanced than we were with certain types of technologies, and the reason for that is that World War II, in some aspects, was an oil war. And what the Axis powers did during World War II was go and take oil fields. And that was a big difference between Germany and Italy and Japan and the Allies, was that those three countries didn't really have oil fields. And during the war, what they did was go and occupy oil fields. The Germans took oil fields in Eastern Europe, the Italians took oil fields in North Africa, and the Japanese took oil fields in Manchuria and other areas of China and occupied them. But then during the war, what the Allies did was go and retake those oil fields, bomb them. But during the war then, the Germans, because they didn't have a lot of oil themselves, they researched all kinds of alternative technologies, including the Sasol coal to oil type programs that South Africa still uses today, different types of electric technology, special types of fuels, even developing atomic energy and atomic bombs and things like that. So the Nazis, especially because they didn't have all the oil, they were really trying to develop these more electric and what we would kind of consider UFO-type technologies. And in fact, at the end of World War II, what happened was the Nazis' big final push was the Battle of the Bulge. And during the Battle of the Bulge, they ran out of gas. And that was the end of the battle. And the Germans just finally, as they ran out of gas in their new panzer tanks, I mean, they just popped the hatches and got out and started walking back to Germany, and they had lost the battle by just running out of gas. Similarly, it was the Bush family and Prescott Bush during World War II. Prescott Bush was dragged in front of a special Senate panel because it was determined that the Bush family's oil company, the Zapata Oil, down in Houston, and one of the things that they did was create these very, very special aviation fuels. And those aviation fuels the Nazis weren't able to make those kind of fuels. And incredibly, yeah, the Bush family was selling to the Nazis during World War II this special kind of fuel that only they could make in Texas. So how about that?
What's wrong with that picture? Jeez.
And that's a famous story, too, with the whole Bush family and World War II. So the Germans, in that sense, because their backs were against the wall, they were developing these unusual type of technologies, and America and Britain were actually behind with them because they had lots of oil, and everything they did was just based on oil and other, you know, fuels derived from oil. So now you have the Tesla type stuff, and what's going on with Nikola Tesla especially was, here's a guy who was developing things in the 1920s with his towers that were putting electricity into the atmosphere. He wanted to have his wireless system of power. And with Tesla, of course, everything was electric. Tesla was already talking about these anti-gravity airships. They had no wings or anything. They were totally electric. They could draw power from his towers. And these towers were, he was going to put them all over the world. Marconi was apparently doing similar things. But so here we have, especially with Tesla, we have things that he was doing in the 1920s that today are still considered like science fiction. But prior to World War II, everybody was paying a lot of attention to Tesla's work. And he would talk about these death rays. I mean, he was, at the time, and even still today, he's probably the greatest inventor and scientist who ever lived. I mean, his inventions are lighting the whole world today, and yet he's like a suppressed person. And again, the oil companies are the ones who've triumphed here, and Tesla's demonized as some kind of a crazy nut with all of his electric airships and wireless transmission of power and stuff like that, his death rays. And we sort of have, in my mind, a cloak, an oil cloak pulled over us that, like, yeah, we have to go into space. We have to use, you know, oil. We have to use chemical rockets to go into space. When if you asked Nikola Tesla how to go into space, he would have said, oh, you got to build this electric airship and go to the moon that way.
So it's all conspiracy on the part of the oil industry to suppress these inventions?
Well, I mean, I would say that, yeah, that there is an aspect of some kind of conspiracy to suppress certain types of technology. That technology is electric, and that if you're and now we get into the UFOs. If you just start looking at your standard UFO stories of what these craft are like, spinning around, they've got bright lights all around the edge of the craft, they're spinning and rotating. I mean, it's clear that UFO technology, and again, this is part of the suppression, that whatever the technology is in some flying saucer or flying triangle or cigar-shaped airship, whatever, it's not jet technology. It's not rockets. It's some kind of electric technology. That's what we were talking about earlier, plasma technology, fields generated through electrically, some kind of spinning vortex, gyros. But if the government, let's just say that if some of these UFOs, not necessarily all of them, but some are being built by the government, they're coming from Area 51 in Nevada or whatever, those craft, they're not rockets. They're not jet engines. They're something else. And apparently, they're electric. And I would go back, in my mind, to Tesla's early inventions, and those things apparently are being suppressed.
Now, how do we unsuppress it? Is there a way, or is the secret government just too overwhelming?
Get a stinger.
What's that, Chris?
Get a stinger. Bring one down. So my friend Andrew keeps saying, oh, all I need is a stinger. I'll show you what a UFO is. Well, you know, again, this raises a whole slew of subject areas that we could dive into here. And one of the things that I've always felt, based on my own personal experience as a field investigator, is that the government and the military and possibly even a quasi-governmental nefarious body is testing and has operational technology of the sort that David is describing. What do you think, David? I mean, is this a why don't they let word of this technology out? Is this some sort of ultimate ace in the hole in terms of power and control on the planet? Do you think the United States government at some point will be forced to show its technological hand in this regard, or do you think it's going to stay secret for as long as we have dominion over the planet based on conventional technology? I mean, what is your thinking on that politically?
Well, I think that they have a number of reasons for keeping this technology secret. A lot of it is military. And, if they have, let's say their own flying saucers and things like that, and I think they do, they can take these kind of craft and, and they're not really weapons. I mean, that's kind of a thing too where, I've heard that argument where people have said, well, if the Nazis had been developing flying saucers at the end of World War II, why didn't they win the war, And, that's a reasonable question, but a flying saucer is like a helicopter. It's not really a weapon itself, but it's a vehicle. And that's something about World War II that a lot of people don't realize as well. There were not helicopters in World War II. Helicopters didn't come really until after World War II in the early 50s, and they were really first used in the Korean War. So in World War II, they didn't have these vertical takeoff and landing craft. They didn't really have them. But a flying saucer would do that. But if you have a kind of a craft like that, like the Aurora or something, I mean, these things can fly at tremendous speeds. They develop their own gravitational field. You can suddenly turn on a dime at a right angle. And because you're inside your own G field, you don't generate these G forces that you would in a jet or a rocket or something like that as you're flying around.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of this kind of transportation. Sounds fascinating, certainly beats waiting 3 hours on the line over at the airport. We have David Hatcher Childress, author, publisher, adventurer. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.